Well, we're turning this morning to that account we read in John's Gospel and chapter 9. A very detailed account of the Lord healing this man who was blind from birth. I don't know if you're aware or not, but John's Gospel is quite unique. It's different from the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And John, rather unusually, spends very little time talking about the healing miracles of the Lord Jesus. And when he does so, he goes into quite some detail. There's only, I think, about three occasions where John describes one of the Lord's healing miracles. And, of course, this is one of them. And you remember how at the end of John's Gospel, he explains what was in his mind as this Gospel was written. Remember how he says there, he says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And that was the great summary, really, of all of John's intent there. And of course, in this account that we've read here in John chapter 9, we see there, don't we, that he was this proof, his evidence set before the people that he was none other than the Son of God. And I remember how this man himself who was healed, when he has this dispute with the Pharisees, they're to-ing and fro-ing, and he seems to be getting to the end of his patience with them, doesn't he? But he says, it's never been heard that a man could open someone's eyes who have been blind from birth. He said, it's unheard of. And he's almost exasperated with these Pharisees. How can you doubt who this is? This has to be a man from God. And so you can see that here's something here that John, as he recounts his account, is setting before us again these things that show us who this person is, the Lord Jesus. But this passage as well, we have something in particular set before us that I want us to consider this morning, because at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord tells us something very significant about the events that are going to follow and why they take place. You remember how the chapter begins with the disciples asking this question, "Master, who did sin?" The Lord's seen this man who was blind from his birth, obviously drawn attention to him, or maybe he's already gone up to him to talk. And they say, "Who sinned? Why was he born blind? Was it his fault or his parents?" And you notice how Jesus answers in verse 3. This wasn't an immediate consequence of his sin or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There's the things that are about to happen. This chapter that we're reading about now, these things were planned and purposed by God, that the works of God should be made manifest. And so as we come to this chapter, that's what I want us to look at. The works of God made manifest. Here is God at work. Here's God displaying, manifesting something of his work. Here is Christ displaying these things. And that's what I want us to see as we look at this chapter then this morning. So the works of God, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, here displayed in this man. And the first thing that's evident to us here, and we see it in those words at the beginning of the chapter, is that the Lord Jesus, he has power to deal with all the consequences of sin. We know that our Lord came that we might be forgiven, that we might be washed clean, that he might die for our sins that we've committed. Each one of us are guilty of committing sins. And when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are put to his account. He takes the penalty for those sins, our sins, individual sins, your sins and mine. He has taken those away. He takes the penalty for those sins. But you see what the Lord is saying here as well. Not only does he deal with individual sins, he deals with the consequence of original sin. He says here, doesn't he, this man who was born blind, it wasn't because of his own personal sin or his parents' personal sin. And so often, our diseases and our sicknesses and the things that happen to us are the result of very specific sins. Here's the Lord saying, no, this is not because of that. This man was born blind because of original sin, because we live in a fallen world, because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the whole of creation travails and groans together. The whole of this creation is groaning under the influence of sin. And so here's the Lord saying this. He's come to deal with that as well. The consequence of all of that sin that entered when Adam first sinned there in the garden. And these are things that should thrill us with a reminder that not only can we come to personal faith in the Lord and have our sins forgiven and our sins washed away, but the Lord is one day going to deal with the whole of this creation and all the consequences of sin. And we love, don't we, to turn to those descriptions of heaven. Turn to Revelation, which says, "And there shall be no more sin, No more sickness, no more suffering. None of those things will happen any longer, because the Lord is going to deal with all these things. And the whole of creation that now travails and groans is affected by the ravages of sin, the curse upon this world because of sin. There'll be new heavens and a new earth. Sometimes people say to us, why is the world like this? How can there be a God if the world's like this? Well, that's because the world wasn't like this when God made it, but sin entered the world. But one day God will deal with all these consequences of sin, and all will be made new, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And so here's the, as the Lord begins this, dealing with this man who was born blind, draws attention to this as well. This right, says, I'm going to deal with this man, I'm going to cure his blindness. And he's demonstrating his power, his ability to deal with all the consequences of sin and all those things that have entered this world, all going back to that sin of Adam. All will be dealt with by our Lord and the wonder of his work there upon the cross at Calvary, and how it will all be brought to fruition one day. But then, of course, when he speaks of his work, the works of God being manifest, he comes now to that particular dealing with us as individuals. And we see here portrayed in this passage the whole wonder of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to seek and to save sinners. And of all the things, this is surely what shines the brightest here. We need to remember so often that the Lord's healing miracles were like living parables. We think of the parables as those earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. But his healing ministry, his healing works that he did, they're like living parables. They speak of that spiritual work that Christ came to do. And so here we have this lovely description of how it is that the Lord comes to seek and to save the lost. And he's doing that now. Seeking and saving the lost. He has his lost sheep that he's drawing unto himself. And here, this lovely account set before us, we have this picture of this man who was blind. Blind and lost, and he was in a hopeless condition, and he knew nothing of Christ. We find that in the account when they say, well, who is this person? He didn't know. He'd heard his name. He said, well, this man called Jesus. He knew nothing of the Lord. Unlike some we read of at the wayside begging who hear the crowds and hear the Lord, we've heard about him and they call out. Here was a man who didn't do that. He sat at the wayside begging, and Jesus goes to him. He goes to this man who is blind. He's seeking those that he would have to be saved. And here's this man that when the Lord deals with him, he heals him in this wonderful way. Notice what it is that he's done there. He makes this clay of the spittle and he anoints his eyes with this clay. And then he says he's to go and to wash in the pool. It's a lovely picture there, isn't there, of what Christ does. He is the one who heals by his Spirit. He deals with our sin. He deals with our heart. He is the one that does the thing. But we, by faith, must believe in him and put our faith and trust in him. He is the one who does the work. We can't earn it ourselves. It's not any works of our own. It's nothing we can do to merit it. It's the Lord who does that work. It's the Holy Spirit that opens that inner heart, that inner need. But we're to believe in him, by faith, trust in him. This man, he had to believe. This strange man who had come up to him and said, I put clay in your eyes, go and wash in the pool. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have been healed. But you see, the Lord had already healed him. It wasn't the clay that had healed him or the washing. The Lord had done that healing. The man had to go in obedience, in faith, to the pool that he was told to go to, not anywhere else. He said, well, I don't need to go to that pool, I could go somewhere else. He had to do it in obedience. And he washed, and he could see. And so it is, isn't it? When the Lord, he comes to seek and to save the lost, it is who does that secret word in our work in our hearts. But his command is, believe. And we sung that hymn just now, isn't it? Whosoever will believe shall be saved. And that's that great glorious message. He does the work, and yet we must believe and put our faith and trust in him. So here was a man then who'd experienced something of this, of the Lord seeking him out, doing a work for him there, but sending him there to the pool to wash. And the same message comes to us today. Same message, isn't it? Come to Jesus for cleansing. We're to go to him. We're to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I believe. And we're to come to him and lay hold upon him. And so here's this man then who is able to is able to see now. And he doesn't understand fully what's happened, does he? And it's the same thing, isn't it? When we come to faith in Christ, we don't always fully understand what's taken place. Here's this man, he says, when they're disputing with him and they're saying, well, what are all these things? He says, I don't know the answer to all these questions, but one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And that's the case with each of us. We come to faith in Christ and we put our trust in him. We've gained that wonderful understanding that we can see. We know him. We're alive. He's forgiven us our sins. There's that new life that is within us. And though we can't explain perhaps all the doctrines and all the mysteries of the Holy Spirit's working, we say, but this I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And there's that lovely reminder that it's the Lord who takes hold of his people and he turns them about, he draws them unto himself. And then we know that assurance that he's heard our prayer of repentance and of faith, and our eyes are opened. And here's this lovely picture that sets these things before us. And the Lord's doing this that the works of God might be manifest. Do we give God all the praise? Do we give him the praise and the glory for what he's done? Or do we take some credit to ourselves? See, this man, he didn't take any credit to himself. He said, it's this Jesus who did it all. He did it. And no matter how many times they ask him, he doesn't change it, does he? He says, no, it's this man who, he healed me, put clay on my eyes, sent me to wash. He says, and now I can see. And it doesn't matter how many times we might doubt our profession, doubt our conviction and our knowledge of the Lord, and doubt our testimony. You can say what you want, but whereas I was blind, now I see. And that should be a testimony of a true believer, isn't it? That we can say that. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter how they might mock and scorn and ridicule you, say, no, you can't take this away from me, that I was blind. I was dead in my sins. I had no hope in this life, no direction in this life. I didn't know the Lord Jesus till he took hold of me. And now I can see. Now I have that new life. Now I have that new understanding of what this life is all about, and that the Lord has indeed come to save me and to wash me and to cleanse me. So there's that. A great picture there, that manifesting the works of God. But it goes on as well. And notice what else is manifest, what else is shown of the works of God here. Notice the change in this man, the radical change. Notice what happens to us when we come to know the Lord. The condition before, he says, isn't it, the neighbours said, isn't this the one that sat and begged, verse 8, is this not he that sat and begged? This man was but a beggar before. He had nothing. He was blind. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn his own living. He simply sat there. What a condition. What a sorrowful, pitiable condition he was in, and just begged. But now, you notice what's happened. Notice the change now. It's such a change that people say, isn't this the one that sat and begged? What's happened to him? He's changed. This man now is a new person. Rather like that lovely picture that we have of the one who was there living amongst the tombs, cutting himself and possessed with all the demons. And when the Lord healed him, they find him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Notice here, this man, he sat and begged and was blind. Now he's able to give his own testimony. He's able even to answer these Pharisees with words of wisdom from the Word of God. And the Pharisees are confounded. In the end, they excommunicate him. They cast him out of the synagogue. They don't want to listen to him any longer. But look at the change that's taken place. Here's one who's met God. He's met the Lord himself. And he's now, not only is he healed with his sight now restored, but he has an understanding of the Word of God. See, this is another mark of when we come to faith in Christ. And when we come to know him, he opens our understanding. Deals with us in that way that now the Word of God comes alive. And here he is. He's able to answer his critics and speak to those who scorn these things and despise these things. And notice some of the things that he said. He's amazed that these Pharisees are so set in their ignorance and their rejection of what's obvious and right in front of them. What blindness they have. That's what the Lord draws attention to later. He says, you're the ones who are blind. You claim you can see, but you're blind. This man who was blind is now the one who has sight. And notice the things he says. He says in verse 30 when he answers them back, he says, this is a marvellous thing. He says, you don't know where he's from, and he opened my eyes. Are you fools? What do you mean you don't know where he's from? Who can open the eyes of the blind? This man is obviously of God. And of course, he goes on to say, isn't he, verse 31, he begins to teach them, doesn't he? He says, we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He's quoting here from Psalms that speak of the Lord hearing the prayer of the righteous. And he is instructing these religious leaders. See, we come to an understanding that we never had before when we come to know the Lord. Here, the manifesting the works of God again. When the Lord deals with us and turns us about and cleanses us from our sins, we have a new direction in life. A whole new change takes place. We're a new person with a new understanding and with a desire to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for us. And we see all those things pictured here in this, if you like, this living parable, these things that take place here in this account here. And of course we find, don't we, that these Pharisees, they've had enough, he says, they say, thou wast altogether born in sins and dost thou teach us? They don't want to be taught. Of course we find that, don't we? Yes, we find that the things that now, when we come to know the Lord, now seem to be self-evident, and things that we love, and things that we cherish, and things that are alive to us in the Word of God, and we try to speak of these things to those who are still dead to these things, have a blindness, they don't understand why you're trying to teach us these things. They won't hear any longer. And they'll close up their ears and stop us from speaking any longer. That's what these people do here. They throw him out of the synagogue and cast him out. But you see, what a great change has taken place. And what a picture of what takes place in the life of a believer when we come to know the Lord. And do we find that ourselves? Is that your testimony? That having come to know the Lord, the Word of God comes alive to you. And you find there, don't you, these great treasures there. Things that speak of Christ. Things that warm your heart. Things that give you an answer, an ability to give an answer, a reason for the hope that is within you. And so that when people do challenge us, as this man was challenged already, started out, hasn't he, having met the Lord, suddenly he's challenged on all fronts. But we find that we're able to give an answer. And we find the Lord helps us in those things, to speak of our testimony. Get to the point, doesn't he, where he just says in the end, he says, well, this is all I know. I was born blind. But now I can see. And then we see next, don't we, when we look at these works of God that are manifest here, we see something lovely about the Lord Jesus Christ's relationship with his people. Those that have come to know them, he draws near to us to encourage us, to comfort us, to deal with us in our need. The Lord doesn't just make this man blind and just set him off and leave him. When the Lord saves his sheep, he seeks and to save his sheep and he draws them unto himself into a new living relationship with him. That's something that as believers we surely know, we love to be reminded of. But we see it again here, set in this passage. We see something of a concern for the Lord to encourage this man. And you notice how it is that it says there, that when Jesus had heard, verse 35, that they had cast him out, literally excommunicated him, no longer is he going to be able to fellowship in the synagogue and worship with the other Jews, they're being excommunicated, he seeks him out. He says he finds him, and he speaks to him. And he says unto him, dost thou believe, verse 35, do you believe on the Son of God? It's a lovely reminder there of our good shepherd. He knows the troubles we go through, and the struggles and the difficulties, perhaps the opposition, perhaps the ridicule, perhaps the rejection of maybe family. Notice how his parents here, they were reluctant to get involved. They were able to say, well, he is our son and he was born blind, but we don't want to know any more. There can be all sorts of rejection that we can go through, but the Lord knows, and he draws near. And here is one of his sheep, and he comes and he finds him, and he brings this word of comfort and encouragement to him. And he says to him, first of all, he says, do you believe? Let this be your assurance. And as believers, sometimes when we are faced with all the troubles and the difficulties around, we need to get back to this basis of our faith. Do you believe in the Son of God? Sometimes we lose our assurance. There are believers who struggle with assurance, and because of the things that happen in their lives and the things that perhaps they suffer with their own lack of will at times, and they doubt, they're standing before the Lord. And here's the Lord. Perhaps he says this to you. He says, God, do you believe in the Son of God? And we need that reminder, don't we? Say, yes, he's mine, he's my Saviour. Then, of course, there's that glorious assurance. Well, the Lord does that here. This man, of course, he's much to learn, hasn't he? And, of course, when the man answers, well, Lord, who is he that I might believe? And Jesus says, I am he, the one who opened your eyes, the one you saw, the one who you're talking to. I am he. And he immediately says, Lord, I believe. I believe. You know, what a lovely encouragement that is to us, to know that the Lord, he draws near to his people. He draws near to us in our time of need. And he draws near to us with those words of comfort, and with those reminders of where our confidence should lie. And maybe this man was downhearted, the fact that he was no longer going to be able to gather there in the synagogue and gather there. But here the Lord himself meets to him and says, do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he? I am he, he says. And we need to be reminded of that at times, don't we? That our faith and trust is not dependent upon our circumstances, not even upon our Christian fellowship, not upon what the world says or how we're accepted by those around us. It's based upon our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know him? Do we belong to him? Is he my Saviour? Has he died for my sins? And we have to say, yes, he changed me. Go back to what he was. What was his testimony? Lord, he said, once I was blind, but now I see. And if you do have doubts and struggles with assurance, go back to that and say, once I was blind, now I see. Now I see. He is mine. And if I'm his forever. And he's one who will draw near to us with these words of encouragement and assurance and comfort. And he talks with this man. And it's a lovely picture there, isn't it, of the Lord gathering, coming into the presence of those of his sheep who are struggling with these things. And notice what it is that the man does there. He says, and he worshipped him. Verse 38. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And when we find in the way difficult and we struggle with things, and perhaps like this man, we've suddenly found ourselves in the midst of a battle and we feel ourselves not up to the task, then we need to come back to the Lord and worship him. Fall upon our knees before the Lord and give him the praise and seek for his help and his blessing. One of the commentators remarks that it's interesting that we don't hear anything further about this man. We don't know his name even in this passage, and nothing further is told of him. There's just this description of what happened when he first met the Lord, but we have that assurance that he would have gone on with the Lord, been a bright testimony for the Lord, and able to say again and again, I was blind, but now I see. And he knew what his confidence was in.